Mean Old Lion Media presents Pregnancy Pearls. Meet Dr. Nicole Plenty, a double board certified OBGYN and high risk pregnancy expert. She's brilliant, well researched, and feisty. Growing tired of seeing complications of pregnancy that could have been prevented, she wanted a way to empower women through knowledge because, as she says, all doctors aren't created equal. This quest to educate women birthed this podcast, Pregnancy Pearls with Dr. Plenty.
Thanks for listening to Pregnancy Pearls Podcast with me, Dr. Nicole Plenty. So, you guys, it is a week before Christmas. Literally, you have about a week and a couple of days. Have you gotten your lives figured out and finished all your Christmas shopping yet? And if you've been listening to the podcast, either one of them, either you've been listening to Oh, That's Deep or this one, then you know that I started Christmas shopping a long time ago. So my goal was to be done with Christmas shopping before Thanksgiving. But y'all, I'm still shopping. I have more gifts to buy because I'm hosting Christmas this year and I don't want to leave out any of the children. I can't leave out any of the children. And so I know I'm pushing it, but it's getting pretty hard and expensive to shop for these kids nowadays. And now I find that some stuff that I've ordered before are now on back order, or they now say they're not going to arrive before Christmas. So then I'm canceling those orders and reordering something else that will get there in time. Then I found out that I can actually go to the store and buy some stuff, right? But who wants to do that? Like, there was some gift I was looking for one of my friend's kids. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to get this till like December 28th. It's going to be too late, right? They're not going to be here anymore. And then I literally Googled it, found out that I could actually pick it up from the store like 5 minutes from the house, right? I could order it, pay for it, and curbside pick it up at one of the music stores like 5 minutes from the house. And then I still was like looking for it online to see if I could get it to come to the house, even though it's like at a store 5 minutes from my home. This is how spoiled we are with Amazon. I'm going to put it out there. It's specifically Amazon. And are you like me in that if there's anything that you find in another store, you're going to look on Amazon first to see if it's there and to see if it's cheaper? Yeah, I'm that person. Like if I can find it on Amazon, even if I don't see it on Amazon first, I'm going to see if I can get it there because I'm a Prime member, right? And I want free delivery and I like getting the Amazon packages. If you looked in my room right now, there are like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 Amazon boxes from just this weekend that came while I was out of town. Yeah, this is becoming a real habit. So am I alone? Are you guys in the same boat with me? Are you obsessed with Amazon packages as well? And are you doing pretty much last minute shopping at this time? Let me know if you're not alone, if I'm not alone, because who wants to be alone, right? I want company in my habits. So for some reason, you guys, I've had quite a few questions, strange questions, actually, about cryptic pregnancies. So I thought this must be a sign that we should talk about it on a whole show. So here we go. I felt like we should talk about it. Now, if you've never heard of a cryptic pregnancy, you're not alone. It's something we don't talk about much and you don't hear much about. This is not making the news. It's not, you know, this common thing that we sit around and have tea talking about our cryptic pregnancies. Well, that's because this type of pregnancy is perceived very differently depending on who you ask. So we're going to talk about just the scientific facts today and leave any emotions or how you feel out of the equation. Now, for starters, on average, most people realize they are pregnant between 12 and 16 weeks, okay, by 12 to 16 weeks, even if they aren't trying to get pregnant. And this is about 3 to 4 months of pregnancy, right, which means you should have missed 2 or 3 periods by the time you hit 12 to 16 weeks, unless your cycles are really irregular. Now, a cryptic pregnancy is when you're pregnant and you don't know that you're pregnant. It's also called a stealth pregnancy. But with this type of pregnancy, you actually are pregnant, okay? It is a real pregnancy. You just don't have any symptoms of the pregnancy or you have a negative pregnancy test, or you don't have a reason to think that you're pregnant. So you go around doing whatever you want to do, and you don't find out you're pregnant until literally very late in the pregnancy. Now, studies suggest that about 1 in 475 pregnancies go unnoticed to about 20 weeks, but about 1 in 2,500 pregnancies go unnoticed until delivery. These are people with cryptic pregnancies, right? There was a TV show, I can't remember the name of it, but these people that didn't know they were pregnant until they were delivering, okay? Those were cryptic pregnancies. All of a sudden, they started having cramping and upset stomach. They went to the hospital and they said, oh, your cervix is dilated 5 centimeters. You're in labor. And they're like, what? I didn't even know I was pregnant. That is the definition of a cryptic pregnancy, okay? Common reasons for cryptic pregnancies include the following. Polycystic ovarian syndrome. So this is a condition where patients tend to have a lot of cysts, little bitty cysts on their ovaries. And because of that, people have abnormal cycles. They could have a couple cycles a year because they're not ovulating. And if you're not ovulating, you don't have an egg to shed, okay? So you're not having a cycle isn't a surprise. And so you're not prompted to take a pregnancy test and you may not have pregnancy symptoms. And so you may not find out that you're pregnant until much later in the pregnancy. The second reason is that you're on birth control. Now, obviously, there are some birth controls that can cause you either not to have a cycle or to have a very irregular or spaced out cycle. Now, if you are using contraception, but you're using it incorrectly, you can see how you can slip up and get pregnant and not even know it. So, for example, when you have a Nuva ring in, okay, with that little ring that inserts into the cervix, or not into the cervix, it inserts around the cervix, okay, at the top of the vagina, you leave it in for a month. Basically 3 weeks, you take it out and allow yourself to have a cycle the fourth week. And then after a week, you put a new ring in. Now, in that first 7 days of the first time you switch to the new ring, you are supposed to use a backup contraception, i.e. a condom, okay, during that first week. Because if you happen to ovulate, you will get pregnant and not know it. Same thing with the new ring. You are supposed to use backup contraception or barrier method, meaning a female condom or a male condom, for the first 7 days. Why? It allows the hormone level to become therapeutic so that the cervical mucus is thicker and you're not ovulating, depending on the type of birth control method you're using. If you don't use the backup contraception, you could be pregnant and not even know it. And if you don't have normal pregnancy symptoms like nausea and vomiting or having increased fatigue, you may not know you're pregnant until much later. So that would be a cryptic pregnancy. The next reason that's very common is that you just had a baby. So when you just had a baby, we tell you don't have sex for 6 weeks. Afterwards, allow your body to heal. Get regular breastfeeding because breastfeeding helps suppress ovulation, okay? And it acts as a natural birth control. But in order for you to have a regular timing and amount of breastfeeding, you have to get a regular pattern. You have to breastfeed every 2-3 hours consecutively. If you're not consistently breastfeeding, then you could start to ovulate. So people that are breastfeeding tend not to ovulate. So if you're breastfeeding for a year, you may not ovulate for a whole year. But let's say you're somebody that like, oh, I breastfeed, but I supplement with formula. So you may skip a day of breastfeeding. Well, you could ovulate in there and you could slip up and get pregnant during that time of ovulation and never have a cycle and never think you have a cycle because you assume that you don't have a cycle because you're breastfeeding. And then lo and behold, guess what? You go to your 6 week postpartum visit. You had sex when you weren't supposed to. And when you're finding out you're pregnant, that happens. That happens actually more often than you think. The next reason is you're perimenopausal. I have a whole episode about this last season. And I just recently talked to a friend of mine about how she's like, oh, I can't get pregnant because I don't have cycles every month. That don't mean nothing. You could still be ovulating every once in a while, which means that if you're still having a good time, you're having a good old fashioned rendezvous with your significant other, you have sex, you're perimenopausal, you don't use any protection, then guess what? You can be in your late 40s or even early 50s and you think you're on ovulating, and lo and behold, you slip up and you have a perimenopausal baby. You get pregnant. And then you come and see me, because that's what happens when you are in your 40s or above. You consider high risk, and we need to have a conversation and monitor the pregnancy. Since you guys have concerns about cryptic pregnancies, let's go to some cases and some questions to learn more.
Our first case is a 42-year-old who is 34 weeks pregnant with her first child based on a test that she had at home last week. Prior to last week, she did not know she was pregnant because she only felt bloated. She has an enlarged abdomen and now feels fetal movement, but has a negative pregnancy test. She told her OBGYN that she was seen last week by another provider who confirmed her pregnancy. She looks visibly pregnant and desires consultation by the high-risk specialist since her OBGYN said her pregnancy test was negative. In addition to having advanced maternal age, she also has thyroid disease and obesity. She was referred to you for confirmation of the pregnancy and co-management.
Okay, so before I get around to talking to her about her other medical problems, the first thing I need to do is actually confirm she's pregnant, right? So the first thing I'm going to do before I do any other ultrasound or have any discussion is to do another urine pregnancy test, right? Because if you have two negative urine pregnancy tests, then 9 times out of 10, she's not pregnant. Or it could have been that that negative test was read too soon. Most tests, even an office test, you have to set a timer and you have to wait either 3 to 5 minutes to confirm that it's actually negative. There have been people that have only waited 1 or 2 minutes and assumed the test will be negative when it actually turned positive after 3 to 5 minutes. So we need to make sure that we're reading the test, making sure we're waited the indicated amount of time so that we can be for sure that the patient is or is not pregnant. And so I would want to repeat that urine dipstick test to make sure that we waited the proper time and it was done adequately. Let's say that test came back negative. Then the next thing I'm going to do is a hormone test with what's called a beta HCG. That's the pregnancy hormone. And then that way I can actually get the levels of the hormone. The levels of the hormone will say if she's really pregnant or not. Usually if your beta HCG is at least 20 to 50, your pregnancy test should be positive, right? But there are tests that aren't as sensitive. And so the blood test is way more sensitive in that it tells you the actual quantity of that hormone circulating through your body to see if you're pregnant or not. Now, if the hormone test, your beta HCG is negative, then we got to investigate, well, why do we think that we're pregnant? First, I would do imaging. If your uterus is enlarged, is it just that you're poking out your belly? Or is there really something in your abdomen or pelvis that's causing that space? A lot of times women can have fibroids that can make their uterus look big. And because people have a protruding belly with fibroids, sometimes people may think they're pregnant because their uterus is actually growing because the fibroids are growing. But it doesn't mean you're necessarily pregnant. So I would do an ultrasound to look to see if I see any fibroids or anything else inside of the uterus. If I do see fibroids, then I would counsel the patient that this is a tumor or mass and not a pregnancy. And I would talk to them about either a need to manage the fibroids, meaning with removal of the fibroids, or leaving the fibroids alone and then trying to get pregnant if the patient desire to get pregnant. If I talk to the patient and she's convinced mentally that she's pregnant, then we have a deeper issue at hand, because this would be considered a psychological disorder. This is the belief that you are really pregnant. You may even have pregnancy symptoms, but you are not actually pregnant. There's no baby inside of your uterus. You will never have a baby inside of your uterus with that particular pregnancy. But this is a matter of getting counseling to help the patient understand, one, that they are not pregnant, and two, making sure we get a diagnosis and ongoing therapy for this diagnosis, because people with pseudocyesis can have mental health disorders. They can try to kidnap other people's babies to convince themselves that they've had a child, or they could have this thought because of issues of abuse, domestic abuse, or a past history of sexual abuse. So we need to do a deeper dive as to why the patient thinks that she is pregnant and confirm, why is the abdomen getting bigger? Is this a fibroid, or is it something that's a cancerous process, like an enlarged ovary? I would do imaging to rule in or out any pathology in the uterus that needs a further follow-up. And then if I do see further follow-up, then that would then direct my path of workup, whether that means I'm referring them to a general surgeon or an oncologist or their gynecologist to remove the fibroids and move from there. If the patient mentally believes that they are pregnant, then I'm going to counsel the patient, but I need to do some counseling. And you have to approach that with a very carefully, because you don't want people to think that you think that they're crazy or anything's going on, because there could be a reason that the patient thinks that, but it does require somebody with some psychological background to further evaluate why that person thinks they're pregnant. So the case pearl for this case is, with a cryptic pregnancy, the pregnancy test is still positive. A negative pregnancy test with the belief that a person is pregnant is considered pseudocyesis, or what's called a phantom pregnancy. It is not a cryptic pregnancy. All right, medical intern, what's our next case?
This one is a question, and it says, Dr. Plenty, my ex-girlfriend just found out she is pregnant during her annual dental exam. She had to have an x-ray and had a positive pregnancy test. She went to the OBGYN who did an ultrasound, where she found out that she was 31 weeks pregnant. However, based on the last time we were together, if she was really pregnant, she would be 34 to 35 weeks pregnant. She claims she hasn't been with anyone else. How could she just find out that she was pregnant? Is it possible that she is pregnant with my child if the dates are that far off?
Yes. The short answer is yes. Your ex-girlfriend could have a cryptic pregnancy, and that she has no symptoms. If she has a reason to have an abnormal cycle, then she may not have a reason to have done a pregnancy test. And if she has no symptoms, that may not have prompted her to get a pregnancy test. So yes, this can happen. This is a cryptic pregnancy, and that she's pregnant and just didn't know it. Now, in terms of, she's measuring 31 weeks, but she's supposed to be 34 to 35 weeks, there are a couple reasons for that. Either one, she cheated and she actually did have intercourse with somebody else, and she's not as far along as she thinks she is. Or two, the most logical reason, if she actually is telling the truth and she didn't have intercourse with anybody else, then it could be that she's pregnant, but she's having a smaller baby or a growth-restricted baby, okay? Ultrasound for diagnosing the gestational age is actually worse and worse the further you get along. The earlier you get a pregnancy ultrasound to confirm the pregnancy, the better. If you are 7 weeks or less, then the difference between what you would be by your last menstrual period and what you would be by your ultrasound should only vary by about 5 days, okay? But once you're over, you know, into the second trimester, then that can vary by up to 21 days. That's 3 weeks. And so this is at 31 weeks, this is within the margin of error. And so that's why when people come in and they think that they're one gestational age, but the ultrasound is completely different, then we do want to make sure we know, hey, are you having regular cycles? And if you don't, we date you by your ultrasound, not by your last menstrual period. Have you had an ultrasound somewhere else to confirm that your pregnancy earlier on? If you did, then we go by the earliest dates and then just call you growth restricted. But in this situation, she's measuring 31 weeks. He thinks she should be 34, 35 weeks. She's either not as far along as he thinks she should be, or the baby is growth restricted, but within that margin of error, of the plus or minus 3 weeks that we get in the late second trimester. With anybody that is measuring 31 weeks, and this is the very first time we've diagnosed them as pregnant, then they would be considered a high-risk pregnancy because they had limited and late prenatal care, and we would need to follow them with ultrasound very closely to make sure the rate of growth remained consistent. Babies that are growth restricted will continue to fall off the growth curve, right? So right now she's measuring out at 31 weeks. 3 weeks from now, she should be measuring out at 34 weeks. But if she's only measuring out at 32 and a half or 33 weeks, then we know that the rate of growth is not consistent. And perhaps this is more consistent with a growth restricted baby than it is a baby that is truly 31 weeks. So the short answer is yes, this can happen. People can have small babies. Dating is not as accurate this late in the pregnancy. So yes, she could be absolutely telling the truth, or she could be not telling the truth and be not as far along, and this baby could be by somebody else and not you. All right, medical intern, do we have any more email questions or cases?
Yes, this is another question. It says, Dr. Plenty, I had a negative pregnancy test about 8 weeks ago. I had a pregnancy test done because I had nausea and vomiting. I was told I had a virus, a negative pregnancy test, and sent home. Now, 2 months later, I just found out that I'm 18 weeks pregnant. How can that be? Wouldn't the test have been positive back then? Also, I was partying and had a few drinks about 2 weeks ago. How much damage have I done to my baby?
All right, let's break this down. So she's 18 weeks, okay? Now, she had a positive pregnancy test 8 weeks ago, which would have put her at 10 weeks. Could she have a negative pregnancy test at 10 weeks? Well, usually not, right? So usually if you are, you know, missed a cycle, which means that you are like 4 weeks pregnant, you would have a positive pregnancy test, right? But she was 10 weeks. So I anticipate that her pregnancy test, if she was truly 10 weeks, should have been positive. There's a couple reasons that a pregnancy test would have been negative. One, if it wasn't properly administered, okay? The pregnancy test could have been expired depending on where you went, or they did not wait the specific and recommended amount of time to ensure that the test did not turn positive. The latter is more common than just an expired pregnancy test, but either or could have happened. So then, yes, you could get a negative pregnancy test and actually be positive, but the test was not done correctly. The second question would be, you were partying and you had a few drinks about 2 weeks ago when you were 16 weeks. How much damage have you done? The good thing is, if you didn't drink in the first trimester, the likelihood that that alcohol exposure or whatever drugs, if you did drugs, the likelihood of it causing damage is very, very slim, okay? Organogenesis happens between, all in that period is between weeks three to five. Organogenesis, meaning the development of the organs, is in the first 12 weeks, with the last thing to form being the spinal cord, okay? That doesn't form until 12 weeks. The heart is fully formed by 6 weeks. We just cannot see it. We can see a heartbeat, but we can't see all the structures in the heart. So if you drank and partied 2 weeks ago, you were 16 weeks, all the organs, even if we can't see it, it's already developed. Whatever is there, if there's a defect, it's going to be there. It's not because of something you did 2 weeks ago. It's because of an exposure that happened during those first 8 weeks, okay? So what needs to happen with anybody that has exposure to alcohol, you do need a detailed ultrasound around now, meaning 18 weeks up to 20 weeks. But so 18 to 20 weeks is the usual timing that most patients get an anatomy scan. You need a detailed anatomy scan by someone like me, a maternal fetal medicine specialist, that will look at those subtle details to see if there's any findings consistent with fetal alcohol syndrome, or if there's any findings consistent with a heart or brain defect. Okay. Sometimes babies that have fetal alcohol syndrome have nothing on ultrasound, and they actually don't show signs of fetal alcohol syndrome until much later, like age 18 months or 2 years old. We won't know until that the baby either meets or doesn't meet those milestones. If you have a baby that's exposed to a significant amount of alcohol, There can be signs of fetal alcohol syndrome, physical features. Go back and listen to my episode on fetal alcohol syndrome, which I believe was either early season 3 or season 2. It's a whole episode on this with an expert guest. Go back and listen to it. But 9 times out of 10, you having a few drinks one time 2 weeks ago at 16 weeks probably isn't enough to cause you have a baby with fetal alcohol syndrome. But there's no consistent data that has a minimum amount of drinks that leads to fetal alcohol syndrome. So we always tell you, we don't want you drinking alcohol at all, but breathe. All you can do is just not do alcohol going forward. Get the baby evaluated after delivery to make sure there's no signs or symptoms of fetal alcohol syndrome. But rest assured that you likely haven't done any damage at all. All right, medical intern, do we have any more questions or cases? And she's shaking her head no. So you guys, thanks so much for listening to Pregnancy Pro Podcast. I hope that you learned a lot more about cryptic pregnancies. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to share me with your friends, rate, and comment. If you or someone you know has had a pregnancy complication or unique pregnancy situation, let me know about it. Email me at pregnancypearls@gmail.com to hear your topic or case discussed on one of our podcast episodes. Also, remember to follow me on Instagram at pregnancy_pearls and Facebook at pregnancypearls. Feel free to check out the website, which is www.drnicoleplenty.com, for free pregnancy downloadables. And for goodness sakes, catch up on all the seasons of the podcast, as well as all of our episodes in this season, season 4 as well. In closing, remember to advocate for yourself. You are your biggest advocate, and no one knows what's going on with your body except for you. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Pregnancy Pearls is hosted by Dr. Nicole Lee Plenty. Produced by Nicole Plenty and Janine Brunson Johnson. Executive producer Ken Johnson. Find Pregnancy Pearls on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Please subscribe and rate. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice for diagnosis or treatment of individual medical conditions. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with specific questions regarding a medical condition. Pregnancy Pearls is a Mean Old Lion Media production.